And so this evening we'll begin reading chapter 1, verse 1. We'll read to the end of the chapter, although our focus is going to be verses 10 through verse 18. So follow along with me in your Bibles, please. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all the people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness of this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, "Pass through the camp, and command the people, saying, prepare provisions for yourselves, for within 3 days you will cross over this Jordan to go into and possess the land which the Lord your God has given you to possess. And to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and half-tribe of Manasseh, Joshua spoke, saying, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God is giving you rest and is giving you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your livestock shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side of the Jordan. But you shall pass before your brethren armed, all your mighty men of valor, and help them until the Lord has given your brethren rest, as he gave you. And they also have taken possession of the land which the Lord your God is giving them. Then you shall return to the land of your possession and enjoy it, which Moses, the Lord's servant, gave you on this side of the Jordan towards the sunrise. And so they answered Joshua, saying, all that you command us we will do, and wherever you send us we will go. Just as we heeded Moses in all things, so we will be with you. Only the Lord your God be with you, as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your command and does not heed your words in all that you command him shall be put to death. Only be strong and of good courage. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, I want to thank you for this marvelous portion of your word. And Father, we thank you that all Scripture is God-breathed and that every part of it is necessary for our sanctification. And Lord, we pray that this evening you would use this part to further us along in that glorious process and work of sanctification. And Lord, we pray that the truths communicated tonight would be clearly communicated and that they would be welcomed and received, believed, and incorporated into lives. Father, hear us as we pray this. And Lord, we pray this humbly relying on you, needing your Holy Spirit to lead us into all truth and into all righteousness. And we ask that you would hear us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. What would you do if you came back from vacation and you drive up to your house and in your driveway you discover someone else's car? In fact, you look at your house and you discover that the entire house has been repainted some color that you don't like. and someone else's name is on the mailbox, and it doesn't take too much. You figure out that somebody has actually moved into your house while you are on vacation. What would you do? Would you just keep on driving and say to yourself, well, you know, I really don't want to disturb them because it looks like they've settled in, and, you know, their kids have probably gone to the local school, and they've developed friendships and relationships, and I don't really want to bother them now. What would you do? You would get out of your car. You'd go up to the front door. You'd knock on it because, of course, it's locked. It changed the locks. And when they opened the door, you would kick them out of your house, wouldn't you? Isn't that exactly what you would do? You know, Israel went on vacation, so to speak, for about 400 years plus. Wasn't the kind of vacation you dream of, but anyways, they went down to the Nile region in Africa for just over 400 years, and they were slaves there, as you know. And while they were away, the enemy moved into the land which God had promised them. And now all this time later, God brings Israel back to enemy-occupied territory that belongs to them, and basically the word is, take it. Take enemy-occupied territory that belongs to you. That, in a nutshell, is what Joshua is all about. It's about taking enemy-occupied territory that belongs to you, God's people. And last week we began to see how this is done. The first thing God does is he gets a leader, he finds Joshua, and he encourages him with these encouraging words, be strong and be what? And be very courageous. And remember how God gave three inspiring reasons to Joshua, you know, why he was to be strong and of good courage. They were, of course, as you remember, one, because he's given you victory. Number two, because he wants you to live a life of obedience. Number three, because he promises to be with you. That was God's encouragement to Joshua as he began to lead God's people into enemy-occupied territory. Now what? It's time to go, right? Got to get going. The question is, what do you do? How do you begin this? I believe that God wants each of you here this evening to start taking back land, territory that the enemy now occupies, land that belongs to you, your hearts, this culture, this world, friendships, families, this nation, the world, anywhere where the enemy skulks and lurks, anywhere where sin endures and abides. God wants you to take that land and drive the enemy out. And now that we've received that encouraging and inspiring introduction to be strong and very courageous, not to back down, not to be nervous, but to go forward, the question then is, how do you do it? Right? And this evening, in this portion of God's Word, in the next stage of conquest, as we see them preparing to get ready, we get a revelation. And an answer to the question, how do you begin to do this? And the answer, it's very simple. Are you ready for it? Here it comes. Ears open. Here it comes. You do it as a community. You do it as a community. How do you take back enemy-occupied territory that belongs to you? You do it as a community. And this evening, what we're going to do is we're going to take a look at this community. And we're going to discover that there are two separate but very related groups within this community, each which is vital to a conquering approach to taking back this territory. And the first of the two groups that we're looking at this evening is leadership. What it takes. It takes faithful leadership to conquer. You got that? Faithful leadership to conquer. The first thing that God does is he takes Joshua. He gets a leader. God's been honing this man. He's been shaping him. He's been strengthening him. And finally now Joshua has arrived. Joshua's got all the qualities needed to be an amazing leader. And you know what? It is absolutely wild just to sit back and look at this man in action. I mean, this man's arrived. In terms of a leader, he's exemplary. If you want to know how to be a leader, look at Joshua. Joshua is the man. Joshua is the model par excellence of what it means to lead. And what's interesting is just how he does that. And that's what we're looking at right now. Because it takes faithful leadership to conquer. That's the first aspect of this conquering community we're looking at. Good leadership. Solid leadership. And there are characteristics that we got to see this evening in Joshua that make up strong leadership. And I want those of you, particularly those of you who believe that maybe God calls on you to leadership, to listen very carefully, all of you, but particularly those of you who may sense God's call to be a leader in this community. Because we're looking at Joshua, we're looking at the way he did it, and it's good, and it's right. So just listen on as we go through this. What does it take to be a faithful leader in a conquering community? And the first thing that we see is this. It's someone who first spends time in God's presence. When we open the book of Joshua, we don't see Joshua just sort of springing into action, running into Canaan with a sword in his hand. That's not what we find. What's the first thing that we find? Where do we find Joshua? Someone. We find this man where? In the presence of God. He's meeting with his God. Before Joshua does anything, he has a prayer meeting with God. You see that? The first 9 verses is a picture of a man meeting up with his God. What's the point? The point is this. You want to do anything for God, you better first get into his presence. Because that's where all the power comes from. Sometimes people come to me and say, Kiernan, can you give me some advice in terms of preaching? Here's my advice. Here's the most important point in preaching. Preaching begins in the presence of God. It begins there, it continues there, and it ends there. It's got to be the case. Joshua first spends time in the presence of God before doing anything else. Now listen to this. Those of you who are thinking, aspiring to preach the Word of God, don't you dare begin to preach the Word of God without first spending time in the presence of God. Understand this. Entire sermons, whole applications come to you by spending time in the presence of God. That's where your sermons will come from. You leave the commentaries on the shelf, you leave the Bible program shut up, and you get down on your knees, and you begin to ask God for a word for your people, the God who knows the hearts and the minds and the situations of your people better than you know them yourself. You begin in the presence of God. You want to be a strong, faithful leader, you get down on your knees, you get in the presence of God. That's what Joshua did. Listen to this. I've heard technically excellent sermons, theologically right, exegetically tight sermons that have left me dehydrated. And I've heard homiletically disastrous messages, birthed by prayer, that have made me come alive. You want to preach well? You get down on your knees. You get in the presence of God. That's the first thing I want you to see about what it takes to be a faithful leader. He's a man who gets in the presence of God. Don't kid yourself. Don't kid yourself if you think otherwise. It begins in the presence of God. Here's a second characteristic of a faithful leader. He put his friends into action. I would understand if Joshua hid in the crowd. I would understand that. You know, hoping for somebody to step up. This is a big job, right? But Joshua doesn't do that. What do we read? Open your Bibles. Look at verse 10. We read the word then. We come to verse 10 and we're greeted by the word then. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, and so forth and so on. This was a man who did not hesitate. First he spends time in the presence of God. He gets a word from God and he goes to his people and he brings that word. He does not hesitate. And what is the word that he brings to his people? The word that he brings to his people is essentially right there in verse 11. It's this. go into and possess the land. You leaders who aspire to be so, listen to this. Here's the basic word that you want to get at your people. You want them to possess. You want them to take back enemy-occupied territory that belongs to them. You want to see them conquer sin in their lives. You want to see sin conquered in relationships. You want to see sin conquered in communities. You want to see sin conquered in our city and nation and the world. That's what you want to see. That's it. Right? You want to see people take back what belongs to them. And you don't be idle about that. You don't sit around. Because the enemy is not going anywhere. Do you think that the Amorites and all those ites who were waiting in the land, when they heard that Israel was in town, said, "Oh, let's get out of Canaan. Uh-oh, Israel's in town." Is that what they said? No. They weren't going anywhere. They were staying put. The enemy's not going anywhere. If you want to be a faithful leader, you've got to understand that you've got to be active. You've got to take the Word of God and bring it to your people and drive out the enemy. He's got to be driven out. He's got to be ripped out. He doesn't go next. He doesn't go, you know, because he wants to go. He's got to be driven out. He's got to be given the death blow. And bottom line is this. You bring that Word to your people. If there's sin, you go after it. You deal with it. You don't wait. You wait, it grows, it festers into a horrible, ugly thing. It takes over. You got to go and deal with it. And that's what Joshua did. That's what made him a good leader. He wasn't a passive, pale-faced curate who just sort of was hoping that things would go away. No. He goes in, he takes control of the situation, he says to the people, go in and possess. Now look it. Here's when you got a faithful leader. When the guy tells you to go in and possess. When he says, look, if there's sin right here, there's sin over here, there's an enemy there, there's an enemy over here, go deal with it. That's when you got a faithful leader. You want to be a faithful leader? You got to spring into action. Joshua sprung into action. Then, verse 10, right? Here's a third characteristic. He's someone to get people involved. This is what I love about Joshua. Joshua didn't call all the people together and, you know, with the loudspeaker, say, okay, here's what I'm doing. Okay? Can you get in line? That's not what he does. What does he do? He goes and he finds officers, right? Check this out. Verse 10, then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the camp and command the people, saying, what's he do? He goes and he finds good, reliable, trustworthy men to bring that message to the people. That's what a strong leader does. One of the biggest mistakes, now hear this, you who want to be a leader, one of the biggest mistakes you can make is to go ahead, charge into battle with a lone cowboy attitude, thinking that if anything can be done, that you're the one who's going to have to do it. That's not the way it works. Here's the way it works. God gives gifts to the church. One of those gifts is called a pastor and a teacher. And his job, according to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, I think it is to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry. The pastor and the preacher is not the only one who's doing evangelism. He's not the only one who's doing ministry. He's not the only one who's doing counseling. His job is to equip people to do the work of the ministry. And you know you've got a faithful leader when he does that. When he is deploying people to do the work of the ministry. Think of Christ for a minute. Christ did not walk over the whole wide world during the 3 years that he was here and preached the gospel. What did he do? He chose 12 men, poured himself into those men for 3 years, and sent them out, let them loose, unleashed them. You want to be a powerful, effective leader, you can't be a solo cowboy. You've got to be a team leader. You've got to be a man who deploys people, who gives them what they need and lets them go, cuts them loose. You know what I'm saying? Joshua did that. He found good men, strong men, officers, and he sent them out with the word that God gave to him possess. These are but a few but important characteristics of what it takes to be a faithful leader. And essential a conquering community. But there's another group that we look at this evening, and it's where you, I think, most of you begin to come into view more than anything. And it's this. In order to be a conquering community, we need people. Committed people. And that's the second thing that we look at. It takes a committed people to be a conquering community. And what does that commitment look like? What does it involve? We have this amazing example here in the Word of God. Look at verse 12. And to the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half-tribe of Manasseh, Joshua spoke, saying, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God has given you rest and has given you this land. And what does he go on to say? He says, your wives, your little ones, and your livestock shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side of the Jordan. In other words, I want you to leave your family behind on this side of the Jordan, on the east side of the Jordan where the sun comes up, and I want you to join the people of God, go into the land, brandish your sword, ready your spear, and do in the enemy. Okay? And when you're done, then you can go back to your families. Then you can have your rest. But first, leave them there and go drive out the enemy. Okay? What's the point? The point is this. If we're going to be a conquering community, it means for you that you have got to put the interests of others before your own personal interests. Right? I mean, that's a tough thing to do, right? It is. It's a difficult thing to do. Because I know that if I was one of these Gadites, one of these, you know, half-tribe of Manassehites, that, you know, my tendency would be, well, look, I've got the land already. You know, just leave me alone. Let me build my house. Let me set up my olive groves. You go in and take the land. That land doesn't involve me. It's your business. It's not my business. But God doesn't let things hang there. God says to those who have land on the east, I want you to go in and help conquer the west. And when you're done with the west, you can go back and you can live in the east. God says to them, you've got to put the interests of others before your own personal interests. And I believe that the word for this, for us this evening, is this. In terms of a conquering community, God wants you to be putting the interests of others before your own personal interests. You think about that. You think about the things that are important to you. The things that you spend your time with. The things that you enjoy doing. And God says, you know what? You can do those things. You can enjoy those things. But you know what? First of all, I want you to think of your brother. First of all, I want you to think of your sister. First of all, I want you to think about what we're doing here at Living Hope. Okay? And what, by the way, what are we doing here at Living Hope? What are we doing? Are we just pulling curtains to the side and putting down chairs and having worship? That's a big part of it. But the vision here at Living Hope is this. It's to bring the peoples of Toronto into the worship of God. That's what we're about. That's the vision that God has given me as your leader. And it's not my vision, by the way. It's God's vision for you. And I believe that what God wants is for you, his people, in terms of being a conquering community, to get that vision and to own it for yourself. In fact, to put that before any of your other interests in this life. That's strong, isn't it? Wow. Because some of you right now are thinking about marriage, right? Yeah, and that's a good thing. But you know what? That, I think, is on the east side of the Jordan. Okay? And some of you are busy thinking about your future and your career and your school and your work. And I'm saying tonight, that's on the east side of the Jordan. Okay? And I'm saying what God's calling you here to do in terms of being a conquering community is to grab this vision and to make it the number one priority in your life. Because you have to understand, this is not my church. I might be the front man. I might be up here. I might be the one doing the preaching. I might be the one who's getting the vision for you. But you know what? It's not my church. It's the church of Jesus Christ. It's your church. And to be a conquering community it involves commitment. And I'm asking you to be committed to this. And I'm encouraged by the growing level of commitment that I see. And I don't want you to be discouraged by that. And if you're discouraged this evening, I would just rebuke that thought and put it aside and say, oh, well, I haven't done everything I could have. Well, that's past. I'm talking to you today, tonight, and saying, here's where we're going. And come on board and welcome in. Because where we're going is to our city, and we're bringing these people in, and we're bringing them into the worship of God. That's what we're doing here. And we're ministering to each other, aren't we? We're calling our brother. We're calling our sister. We're writing letters. We're praying for them, aren't we? We're going to people that maybe we don't feel very comfortable around because we're in a conquering mindset. And there's land and there's territory that's being possessed by the enemy, by sin. And my friends, we're going to reclaim that land, that territory in people's lives. That's what we do here at Living Hope. And everything that is important to us can wait on the east side of the Jordan. And when we finish conquering and helping our brothers and sisters reclaim the land that God has given them, then we go back and we enjoy what God's given us on the east side. But we've got to learn to put the interests of others before ourselves. I mean, isn't that what Paul says in, is it Philippians chapter 2, by the way? That you are to think of others as well as yourself. That's right. In fact, the great model of that, he goes on to say, is whom? Is Jesus Christ, who although he was in the form God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself of what? No reputation, and took upon himself the form of a bondservant, and he suffered even the death of the cross. He did not have to do that for us. He could have remained in heaven. He wasn't dissatisfied. He was quite happy being God. He did not have to do that. But he did it anyways. He put you ahead of himself. God. And that's the model. That's our model. You conquer in the West, and when you finish conquering, you go back and enjoy what's on the east. You put the interests of others before your own interests. That's one vital characteristic that should define you as the people of God, as this conquering community. But there's another one, and it's this. You've got to follow, encourage, and pray for your leader. You've got to do that for me. You know, there's something that the people of God say here that just warms my heart, and I think any pastor would just, you know, almost fall down crying with joy if the people that he ministered to ever said these words. I just got to find them. Verse 16. So they answered Joshua saying, all that you commanded us, we will do. Any pastor would love to hear that from his people. All that you have commanded us, we will do. And wherever you send us, we will go. We're not going to give you trouble. We're not going to give you difficulty. Whatever you say, we're going to do it. Wherever you appoint us, that's where we're going. Wherever you lead us, we're right behind you. We're there all the way. We're totally committed to this, Joshua. That's commitment. That must have stoked Joshua's heart. To have people on board to that degree. We're with you. We're totally with you. We're going to follow you. I mean, let that define your commitment here. Right? And they encouraged him. Look at these words at the very end. Only be strong and of good courage. Joshua, we know you're the man that God has sent to lead us. But we want you to hear this, Joshua. We're for you. We want you to be courageous, not to be fearful, not to be dismayed. They knew that he was a man. They knew that he was a man with fears and doubts at times, and that he needed to be encouraged. How many of you here this evening think that I have struggles? How many of you this evening, my wife's hand shoots up. How many of you think that I have fears, that I have doubts, that I have struggles? How many of you honestly believe that I possess flesh and blood just like you? How many of you think that I struggle with sin on a daily basis? How many of you think that my struggles are so minimal compared to yours? We're no different. Someone just laid their hands on me 10 years ago. Set me aside for the ministry to lead. But I got the same flesh and blood and the same fears that surge through my heart, the same doubts that terrify me, the same sin that besets me. We're no different. And if I encourage you, you need to know that I need encouragement. I'm not a disembodied spirit that floats around, sanctified to the hilt. I am like you more than you know, and I need encouragement. And I need your prayers. I need your prayers. Like Joshua did. Listen to what they say. Only the Lord your God be with you as He was with Moses. That's a prayer. You want to be a committed people? You pray for me. You pray for me on Monday when I get up and when I refresh myself in the presence of God. You pray for me that I would be with God during the week. You pray that God would give me a word for your souls through the week for the Lord's Day. You pray that God would give me grace to struggle and to wrestle and overcome sin. You pray that God would give me wisdom to know how to counsel and love and direct you. You pray for these things so that I can do my job without, you know, sometimes pulling out my hair and do it with love and do it the way that Christ would want me to do it for you. You do it for yourself. You know? We got to be a committed people. And a committed people follows leadership. And a committed people encourages fellowship, and a committed people prays for its leadership. And when you have all that working together and you've got faithful leadership, and when the whole thing interfaces and comes together, then you've got a conquering force to be reckoned with, and the enemy cannot stand. And I haven't come here to run away from the enemy. We're not running away from the enemy. We're going in, okay? We're going in. We're taking back what belongs to us. We're seeing sin. We're kicking down the door. We're driving out our enemies. That's who we're going to be as the people of God. Not a weak, struggling thing, but a powerful, surging army of God going in and taking back what belongs to us. You with me on that? Good to hear. Let's pray. Father in heaven, you've heard all this. You heard it, Lord, before one word was spoken. And you know the things that were spoken, and now we pray, Lord, that you would just give us this community. Lord, help us to be this community. Father, we pray that this would not be a sermon that is buried in archives, long forgotten, but a word, God, that makes us come alive as a people, that remains with us, that defines and characterizes us. Lord, do it. We pray for your great name's sake. Amen.